our, we recessed for ribbon cutting after a morning committee of the whole. Would entertain a motion to re-enter committee of the whole, if that's the wish of the Congress. That needs to take place, otherwise, if there's any other movement, we're here.
I think that you should maybe speak a little louder to clarify that, what you just said, if you would. I think that makes sense.
Okay, we are back in order. According to the parliamentarian, it was how we recessed, so if we choose to go back into committee of the whole, then there needs to be movement for that, so that we can re-enter committee of the whole and continue discussion. Otherwise, if there's any movement on where we are, we can move on the agenda. There's no more discussion. Congressman Whitehorn?
I move to re-enter committee of the whole under the same motion this morning.
Second.
Which is to discuss ONCA 1830 and ONCR 1815. There's a motion and a second. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed say no. We are one no from Congresswoman Edwards, and we are back in committee of the whole. Any discussion? Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Yes, the only point of discussion that I wanted to make is there was a suggestion from the assistant principal chief, and does that suggestion still stand to hold the session open so other items can be discussed, and quite possibly we can get the assessment back while we still remain in session? Is that a proper take on that?
Assistant chief?
With the clarification that the reason to hold open session was the indication that within 10 days, something bad was going to start to happen, and that we, upon engaging the new firm, we would ask them to make an immediate assessment about that short-term need and get an idea about that, and then possibly we could take action or not. But we would be making an informed decision in not doing something, which may have an effect in the immediate future.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Congresswoman Edwards?
The last I heard in a meeting of the LLC was that the 10 days starts to run when payment is received by the LLC under the contract. Not that it's 10 days running as of whatever day. Today, yesterday, last Thursday, so I think we need clarification on that. From the chairman.
Ms. Stuckey?
I can speak to that 10-day time frame. The contract that we have at Fort Leonard Wood, they have not paid the last three invoices, and there's been a variety of different reasons that they've had to be corrected, one thing, another. So those are outstanding. Our subcontractor that we have at Fort Leonard Wood, once that money comes into us and it's not been paid yet, so I'm expecting it any day. They've been approved, but we don't know for sure when that money hits the bank account. We have 10 days from then. So we said 10 days. I can't say exactly when that 10 days is going to happen, but we have 10 days from the time that money hits our bank account, that once we get paid from the government, then we have 10 days to pay that subcontractor. And that money is, because that's that contract, if you remember, where we had the session with Assistant Chief Redcorn and Chief Standing Bear were on the conference call when we talked with the contracting officer, and we made the commitment to complete that project, even though we knew it was going to be more than what that contract amount was for. And so that's the difference between what we're getting from the government and what we actually owe the subcontractor. Does that clarify the time, the 10 days?
Thank you.
It does for me, yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
You had your hand up, Congresswoman Edwards.
Is there anything else? folks going to move to come out of the committee of the whole?
I have two more things. So I know that it's, doesn't appear to be on the proclamation right now, but I think that there's been another piece of legislation filed as it pertains to our Blue Stem Ranch LLC. To me, that's another reason or matter. Also, consider that later in session, but I'll ask the sponsor if that's anything that they have on their radar at all. Congressman Tillman.
Congressman Tillman?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. In some discussions, and time being of the essence, with the assets and with the conversations that we've heard here, the assets of the Blue Stem Ranch LLC, the land's not in jeopardy. It's just the assets that are in jeopardy. And I believe I heard a figure of maybe roughly $1 million. And time being a factor, if we do it now in the fifth session, fifth Congress or the sixth Congress early, and I can see both Congresses having input, I'd really like to see the new Congress have an input on this. And something that they would be, because it's going to be something that they would have a little bit more detail and hands-on. So I was just going to wait, because right now it doesn't really matter.
Thank you, because I hadn't had that conversation with you, so now I know where you stand on it. Thanks a lot.
Yes, ma'am.
That answered my question on that. And then, I'm finished with questions.
Assistant Chief?
I'd like to pursue that subject a little further just for executives' edification. What I'm trying to figure out is are there any points of no return in here, or are there any places in time where our inaction causes a series of events that we cannot undo? Not just our actions, but our inactions. What is the basis of the assumption? I'm not trying to challenge you, I'm not asking the question. What is the basis of the assumption that waiting until at least July 14th or beyond to protect these assets is going to be okay, and that nothing bad is going to happen? Because I'm hearing over here that there's a scenario that within 10 days, under certain other inactions, somebody starts taking action against us. And at that point, through my understanding, that those assets are at risk. That's the basis of the question. And yes, it's an honest question.
Yes, sir. And I appreciate that. And speaking with a member of Congress and our legal analyst this morning, anything that was where those assets would become jeopardized based on whatever actions TED did, whatever they would, they're going to call, any judge is going to call them back in, even if we move them out today. What happened in the past, they were still under that TED umbrella, from my understanding. Those assets are subject to being at risk. Even if we move them out and we put them in a nice, safe place, they're still, we're underneath that umbrella when any sort of activity happened that would put them in any sort of risk.
Well, I hesitate to, ask the Attorney General a legal question while we're in open session. Your opinion is that I'd like to pose some part of this question to you, Madam.
Yes,
sir. Madam Attorney General.
Yes,
please. So, would you agree entirely with this assessment that it doesn't make a bit of difference that we move to distance these assets now from this problem, or that it doesn't make any difference if we do or if we don't? Would you concur with?
I'm actually writing an opinion on that right now, and.
Oh, that's right, you are. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
That's right.
My initial answer is it really doesn't matter, but, and Livingston itself has not waived any type of sovereign immunity. However, any disposition of an asset when there is a possibility of a shutdown is viewed very poorly by the courts, whether it's done with good intention, bad intention. We can say, Judge, we have it right here. Here are the assets. We didn't do anything with them. That would still look poorly upon us in the long run, is where I am right now. Does that answer your question?
It answers mine.
It helps.
Okay.
It helps.
Thank you.
That's the best answer I can give you right now. Hopefully tomorrow I'll be finished and I'll distribute that, make sure everybody gets a copy of that.
Thank you.
And that's new information to me.
Thank you.
Congressman Sebernoff?
Ms. Wells, I wonder, when you render that opinion, we should consider, you know, they signed a waiver of sovereignty that didn't include subsidiaries.
Correct.
But in the indemnity agreement, they did include subsidiaries. And my question to, and I've already asked it, supposed to go to you, was, can you amend a waiver of sovereignty by an indemnity agreement, or did the board members put themselves at risk in that indemnity agreement?
Right now, it's looking like the board members put themselves at risk by the indemnity agreement. I'm looking at it both ways. I'm trying to be the devil's advocate and say, okay, if the board members put themselves at risk by being part of the indemnity agreement, then what are the consequences of that? So that's part of what I'm looking at, in my opinion. And I'm sorry I don't have that today. I just got it Friday. But I should have it for the next couple days, and I will make sure everybody here gets a copy.
Thank you. Assistant Chief.
Thank you. I want to make one other comment and ask a question. I'm struck by, thank you. I'm struck by the description given by Ms. Stuckey, and not because of its content, but because of the idea that we as a government are thinking about stepping into Ms. Stuckey's shoes if we do not employ someone like Baker Tilly to advise us. It occurs to me that if we don't employ somebody like Baker Tilly, that we are then in engaging all of these types of questions one by one, with all of their attendant possibilities for error on our part, having never done this before. And is this body, and the executive branch, I'm asking myself, are we willing to undertake each and every one of those questions and step into that analysis role? And I think I speak for the executive branch to say we are not, and that's why we are advocating the engagement of this firm. Secondly, I never got a fully firm answer on this, on what's going to happen in 10 days. I don't think we know what's going to happen in 10 days yet. And since we don't know what's going to happen in 10 days yet, we think we know, we don't know. What is the Congress's intention of keeping this session open so that once someone else, if the Congress votes to retain this firm and they give us advice, hopefully very quick advice on whether to appropriate some money to take care of these immediate bills so it keeps our other options open. What happens at that point? Does the Congress want to keep this session open for the purposes of taking action without going through the whole process embedded in law that requires all of these waiting periods, far in excess of 10 calendar days, to call another session? It seems to me that the wise choice is to keep your options open by keeping the session open. That's just, but that's not up to us. That's up to you.
Thank you. Congressman Tillman?
Thank you, Speaker. Just a question to the sponsor, and I know you've been in contact with Baker Tilly, and their response time for pertinent answers to all of our issues, how many days do they need?
It depends on the cooperation of the board, the ability to get information, and the ability to get in contact in short order with the acting CFO and the auditors. The information is available to them that they need to make their their assessment and recommendation, and it can happen in short order. But I think I heard the middle of June before they get the financials, so that's probably 10 days from now. I know that they know that time is of the essence, and I know that the Attorney General will keep them moving along as quickly as they can, but they're going to be at the mercy of other people cooperating with them.
Assistant Chief.
Well, all I'm advocating is that the Congress consider keeping the session open until some information is available. And what I'm thinking of is the very specific information necessary for this very near term 10 to 30 day period in which something may happen. I'm not looking for the full analysis, not looking for a whole lot of anything, just this one question on the short-term needs and what they look like, so that if there's a short-term appropriation that's necessary, the Congress can consider it. If that's beyond what the Congress wants to consider, that's your call, not ours.
Whitehorn.
I'd like to ask the Assistant Chief, since it's been presented to us that the Fort Leonard Wood contract is upside down, and they're waiting on those three payments, but that's not enough to cover for the sub. That's my understanding of it, that money is going to be needed to stay out of default, which would affect the nation in a bad way. So what would the executive position at this point be on an appropriation for that purpose, for that contract? Because I know previously it was stated that no appropriation would be considered until all of these other measures were met. I think we're in a, where the time frames don't seem to be cooperating right now. So I guess it would help Congress know what the executive position is to help on that contract.
Well, let's think about it this way. The position all along of the executive branch is we're not going to take action or take a position absent good information. Now, we can think about that in the macro, in the big picture, or we can think about it in the very short term. If we had enough information to make some of these very short-term decisions, I'll go out on a limb, and I'll be happy to call Chief if you want me to, and say, if we had the information we need for the very short term, then we're willing to consider short-term appropriations. I think it serves us to get out of this all or nothing long-term and start making some shorter-term decisions so that it gives us more control over it. That's my answer.
Thank you. It's a good answer. And thanks for being candid. And I know you have to talk with the chief about that. But to me, just for this measure alone that we're talking about, this contract is reason enough for me to leave session open. If we can have those discussions with the board and with the executive, and then we could just, then that's not going to be something looming over our head that we don't have the ability to get back into session in a timely way without default.
May I be excused to consult the chief?
Yes.
Thank you.
Congresswoman Edwards.
This information is all good information, but it's not, these two pieces of legislation seek to help us to get to those points quickly. I don't know what the law says about keeping this session open and amending the proclamation. I haven't drilled down on that. But I think that's a different issue from what we're talking about today, right now in this committee of the whole, which are these two pieces of legislation.
I agree that you're correct about that, and if you want me to move to exit so we can go back into a committee of the whole to talk about extending session, I'll do that if that would be more appropriate.
Well, I think it might be appropriate in motions and notices after we even see what happens with this, because if nothing happens with this, then I think we may be done. I don't know, but I know that we need to probably, in my opinion, we need to make these decisions, and then we can talk about the next steps with what you all are talking about right here.
Whether to leave the session
out right,
or not.
Right.
I'm agreeable to that.
Okay. Congresswoman Edwards?
Move to come out of the committee of the whole.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to exit committee of the whole. All those in favor say yes.
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 Any opposed say no. Okay. We are back to our agenda. We are now on general order day two, where amendments may be proposed. OSA 1830, an act to provide an appropriation to the Osage Nation Attorney General in the amount of $150,000 to carry out the members' vote via resolution to appoint an agent for Osage LLC, its subsidiaries, and Tallgrass Economic Development LLC, and to establish an alternate effective date. Are there any amendments to be proposed to this bill? Seeing none, I will advance to third reading after engrossment. ONCR 1815. A resolution voting the members' interests in Osage LLC and Tallgrass Economic Development LLC to appoint an agent to assess the companies and their subsidiaries and to advise of the course of action concerning the contracts, grants, assets, and liabilities of the companies and to consent to the transfer of assets to Wisdom Ranch LLC. Are there any amendments to be proposed to this resolution? Congressman Tillman. Sorry.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Yes. I'd like to propose page 2, line 62, to strike authorize and insert consent to.
Second.
Congresswoman Edwards?
Move to suspend the rules, modify the agenda, and place ONCA 1830 and ONCR 1815 on third reading on today's agenda. Also to add general order day 3 for ONCR 1815 on today's agenda. Yes.
Okay. So it will, the motion moves ONCR 1815 to general order day 3, where we'll vote on amendments, and then also places ONCA 1830 and ONCR 1815 on third reading on today's agenda.
Right.
Okay. All those in favor? Excuse me, was there a second?
Second.
All those in favor say yes.
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 Any opposed say no. Okay, the motion passes. We are now on general order.
Thank you for that. Thank you.
We're now on general order day 3, where amendments are voted on. ONCR 1815, page 2, line 62, strike authorize and insert consent to. Discussion. Congresswoman Edwards?
The language in the heading is consent to, and I think that's the proper language from the LLC Act, so I'm in support of the amendment.
Okay. There's no more discussion. All those in favor of the amendment say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed say no. The amendment passes. Congresswoman Edwards?
Move to recess for 15 minutes for engrossment.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to recess for 15 minutes for engrossment. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Any opposed say no. We're in recess.
Yes.
Alice. It's Marchie.
What?
That's Marchie. Oh.
What?
You'll meet back there?
Yep. Okay. We still have a